I do genuinely miss the smell of body odour and smelly body armour in vehicles. I don't know, maybe I don't know what it's going to be like for a 50 or 60 kilo rider on an e-bike. But for me, because of my ratio, maybe it feels all right.
It's not necessarily anti-tech. It's just sort of raving about how good these simple things are, if you know what I mean. It's not trying to say one's better than the other.
I guess we've got gearboxes. That could be really exciting.
Really?
We've got
is that desperation? I mean, gearboxes aren't going to change. That's not going to save mountain biking, is it?
Welcome to the Global Mountain Bike Show, number 13. Anybody superstitious in here?
A little bit.
Oh, right.
Yeah, a little bit.
We'll dig into that. This week, we're talking, about e-bikes and the resurgence of regular mountain bikes, whether you can have too much of a good thing. Steve, you can get involved in that conversation and tell us what you miss about mountain biking.
Can't wait to get into that one.
But this kind of is a bit of a throwback. It's about a month ago, I did a video on my feelings on the situation, actually, and getting myself a regular mountain bike. Because as much as I love riding e-mountain bikes, I felt like I was missing a bit of something. And we've got a good mix between the three of us, of a bit of variety of what we do like to ride. And also, I want to jump into some of the comments as well from that video. So I think it does give us a bit of a cross-section of regular mountain bike life. And it does seem a little bit mixed. Particularly this one. So David Jones says, I'm in the old school non-e-bike camp. I find without sounding like a Luddite, Steve, you know what a Luddite is?
Ned Ludd. Come on, you should know that.
Do you know
history?
The actual origin of the Luddite? I'm sure you do, actually, Owen, don't you?
They're smashing up weaving material, I think.
Right,
yeah.
Well, David Jones doesn't want to sound like a Luddite, but more tech in your life does not improve things. I enjoy the pleasure of pulling the bike out of the garage, not worrying about if it needs charging, my mech, my seat post, or the bike, and simply going for a ride. I defo don't see many naturally aspirated riders about now. Lots of e-bikers nowadays enjoying up and downhill. And I think that's probably, you know, if you look at our local riding sport, the one we film at a lot, Forestine Cycle Centre, I think there's got to be more than 50% of the riders there on e-bikes now. We should do a poll on this, shouldn't we?
So, first of all, I'm a Luddite as well, by the way. I think mountain bikes are very much specialist bikes these days. I think the e-mountain biking has taken over in most parts of Europe now, and especially, you know, the UK sales kind of, you know, mirrors that as well. So I don't know. I think it's what's maybe in our heads, thinking that, you know, is this going to be people going back to mountain bikes? Because I think what happens with e-mountain bikes, I think they come in waves. There's a wave of you uptake the technology, and then you think, oh, that's not for me, and then you come back again. And I'm feeling that you might be in your second wave at the minute.
Well,
I'm waiting for you to come back on, you know.
Strong disagreements from the middle here.
Ooh. We'll get to that. I think, you know, I do love, don't get me wrong, I love riding an e-bike, but I think there are two waves going on with me where I've really enjoyed it, and now that the mountain bike wave is now catching up, and I feel like I've missed out on the sort of the spinning, the pedaling, the leg ache, a bit of that, and getting out and doing epic rides.
What about your other waves as well? Your motorcycle wave, your car wave.
Well, another comment. Sarko 10 says, I sold my e-mountain bike after I realised that actually I missed the struggle of climbing and the simplicity of it all. Not having to worry about batteries and weight is gold. I mean, where do you see yourself in this? It's not an argument, but this sort of perspective on e-bikes and mountain bikes.
I mean, we can make an argument. We can strongly disagree about stuff and agree. I think it highlights how mountain biking is, and this is kind of like setting the tone for a big argument within the office, and hopefully they can hear us, is that this is why mountain biking is so much better than road biking. And bear with me a moment, because I enjoy road cycling too. I'm not knocking it. It's just that mountain biking is a fantastic broad spectrum. It is huge. Like, we've got weird and wonderful sort of drop bar, handlebarred off-road machines, and then we've got, you know, your classic trail bike in the middle. And then we've got e-mountain bikes mirroring some of that as well. And then we've got downhill race bikes, and we've got park bikes. We've got all of these different things. And the experiences that we can all get I think that's where we forget. And on tech, I'm very mindful. It's really easy to get carried away with, this is the latest thing. When actually, what we're trying to do is head out and enjoy the experience, whether it's getting out in the middle of nowhere, exploring a new place on a topo map, or it's a feelings thing. So whether it's like the endorphins and the kind of like the rush of a downhill or a techie climb on an e-bike, because it's so satisfying, or it's the out of mindness where you're just pedaling along, you're breathing. It's like breath work. It's like yoga. It's meditation. It can be brilliant.
I'd agree with you. I still consider myself to be a mountain biker. Like, yeah, so, definitely. You know, all the things that I love about mountain biking, the downhill, the technical single track, I can just now add, you know, technical uphill riding and, you know, when maybe the less what you call it for your legs, what you call the words for?
Power?
Load. Torque.
Oh.
Less torque through the legs, maybe, but then at the same time, you get an increased heart rate because my heart rate spikes when I'm doing techie climbs a lot more than, say, when I'm running. Did I tell you I was a runner?
I didn't know that.
I'll throw to one more comment. So POVEMTB says, I hear you. I borrowed my dad's stump jumper and loved the grind on my legs. Entry-level components, relatively fast rolling tyres. I too wonder if the workout is part of the fun. Steve, I was going to ask you, what do you miss about mountain biking?
What do I miss about mountain biking? Maybe four or five things. I think the first thing is I really miss the starvation, which I really enjoyed, you know, kind of going to that food for many days on end and that stuff. The suffering, I really love the suffering.
Right, yeah.
I do genuinely miss the smell of body odour and smelly body armour in vehicles.
I think Steve's being sarcastic.
I actually miss the chairlift stopping in thunder and lightning storms.
Oh yeah, that's quite fun though.
This is like, is it going to start again?
Yeah, a brief segue. I remember thinking like, oh no, I've mislaid my helmet somewhere. I must have left it at the lift. And then looked down and saw it just dropping from from the open gondola. Oh well, it was fine. It landed in some shrubbery, so...
So you don't ever get the feeling that you need a mountain bike in the garage?
No, never.
Really?
Never at all. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like I said a minute ago, I still consider myself to be a mountain bike and I still do all the things I loved.
And you wouldn't need to run if you had a mountain bike.
But I like running because in the same ways, you know, we talk about luddism and all this, I love the simplicity of running because there is nothing involved in it.
So relate
those expensive trainers and your Garmin.
So related to that, I think that's where I found like single speed is really good. It's not a dissimilar thing because you're heading out the door and there's nothing to charge. It's got a rigid fork on it at the moment. I'm really looking forward to riding that.
Has it got cantilever brakes?
No, it's got disc brakes. I mean, actually, I do want to stop.
Where does the Luddite, what year do you stop at if you're
actually
looking at...
Do you know one of the most memorable experiences of a mountain biking was actually doing the Bristol 24 Hour on a single speed.
There you go.
It's just so beautiful trying to get the speed and the pump in the ground on a single
speed
bike.
You've really got to focus.
I think it's really cool.
Yeah.
Don, to answer your question, there's loads of, like Owen mentioned, there's different layers to mountain biking, isn't there? So, I just feel like I do more of the downhill and the single track and the tacky stuff now. It's just I've just moved on to different phases of riding, really.
What I think, I know you've already sort of said that you wouldn't enjoy the uplift part of going to a bike park.
It stinks.
I sort of agree. No, yeah, I'm not sure many people... I mean, going somewhere with a ski lift, I think, is quite nice.
Oh, ski lift is great.
However, what I'd like to know is, you know, you haven't done that in a long time. I'd like to see you jump on like a 180mm trail bike and see what the downhill... You forget what the downhill's like when you don't have a speed limit. And I know it depends on what trails you ride, but you know when you're like, you've got this perfect gradient and you're buzzing along at really good speed and it's probably 25, 30 miles an hour.
I agree.
An e-bike, that feels a bit crap.
No, you're dead right. I mean, the thing is to be able... It's just different though, isn't it? It's not... One's not better than the other. When you've got like a 200mm downhill bike... And you can, you know, gap in from one route to the next and you can move the bike around and the setup is different. You ride an e-bike. I mean, I don't know, I don't know what it's going to be like for a 50 or 60 kilo rider on an e-bike. But for me, because of my ratio, maybe it feels all right. Plus, I come from a motorcycle background as well. So an e-mountain bike is considerably lighter than a motorcycle. It's just all riding off-road, really, and I love all of it, to be honest, and I'm just at this moment in time, I'm just doing something a bit different, I guess.
Interesting.
I guess the industry story tells us that e-mountain bike seems to be sort of winning if it was a race, because that's where all the tech development is. There's constant progression on, as we talk about in the MBN show, there's always something every week, there's something new to talk about, whereas there isn't so much on the mountain bike side. And I try to look for parallels in other sport, where there's always there is progression. There's always a marketing story to go with that progression with mountain bikes, with e-mountain bikes now. Is that the same in everything? If you were really, really into, rowing.
Okay. Randomly, I did row. I was top 10 in Wales. Yeah. It's a brief segue of not many people rowing, and thus hence why I was top 10. Yeah. So I think tech has been the story of how we've talked about mountain biking for a long, long time. And I'm mindful I'm in general, on the tech channel, talking about new tech. And I get really excited about it. And it is genuinely a thing. I love seeing new stuff. And it's how it can improve the ride. And I think we're getting to a point, as you touched on, that a lot of the technological leaps forward are in e-bikes. And I think, unfortunately, what that means is that some brands have not realised the immense power of normal mountain bikes, regular mountain bikes, because they're still brilliant. They're still fantastic. We've just got to talk about them in a different way. For decades, we were able to go, oh, wow, we've got a new headset and it will mean that your ride experience is better. We've got this that's better. We've got plus size tyres. And now we've kind of gone, oh, okay, we actually need to talk about what the ride experience is a little bit more. And I think that's where you see, to a degree, they're slightly daft videos, but like Ultra Romance on a rigid drop bar mountain bikey thing in and a woolly jumper, but he's talking about how he loves riding. And I feel like that's where lots and lots of people love mountain biking, but the kind of comms from brands has forgotten that that's why people love it, is the wind in the hair and the bombing along.
There is that world, I don't know what it's sort of alternative mountain biking or cycling, I suppose, that we've talked about a bit, about going and visiting these scenes where they ride. Hipster's not really the right word, but you know what I mean? They ride kind of cool-looking, very simple, retro-styled, if not retro themselves, bikes, really simple, and just sort of ride around the woods and have a great time.
Yeah.
And that is sort of the opposite of the flashy world of e-bike development and all. Steve, you ever been tempted to... You've got, they're denim shorts. You're off with that.
he's got the jorts on. The hair's flowing.
Jort. Yeah, I had my hair done last week. So are we talking about the lack of technology in mountain biking stuff?
No, it's, well, I'm talking about that scene where there is virtually, the tech is not part of the story. Or it kind of is, but in a cool way, not in what it can do on the trail. It's people riding around on sort of retro mountain bikes, from one campsite to the cafe, do you know what I mean? That sort of alternative cycling scene.
Yeah, I guess my first mountain bike was a rigid steel bike, 26-inch wheels.
You'd fit right in with these guys.
These and guys. Folks.
Yeah.
with my dad.
With the jorts as well, yeah.
Yeah. Are we talking about lack of tech? Well, I'm lost on this one.
I know, but that's interesting in terms of, I think, is it a lack of tech or is it how we tell the stories of mountain biking? Previously, all we've done is talk about the tech, and that's not what mountain biking really has ever been.
So, when I worked in the magazine, we did a whole episode once. The Don was on the cover doing a wall ride on a hardtail. Yeah. Like, just getting immersing yourself in hardtail riding for, probably 6 weeks at a time. Different types of hardtail, cross-country, doodle hardtail, dirt jump hardtail, all these things. Quite simple things.
Yeah.
And I just loved it. Loved talking about that.
We see it. Anytime on GMN we do hardtail stuff, it's popular because people still love, as much as it's not necessarily anti-tech, it's just sort of raving about how good these simple things are, if you know what I mean. It's not trying to say it's one's better than the other, but people still, rightly so, love riding hardtails and watching that sort of stuff as well.
Agreed. I think it's,
Talking about the sort of, just going down a different rabbit hole for a second then, about maybe the lack of technology in mountain biking at the moment, because all the technology, all the product managers, their passion and their interest is all into e-mountain bikes because that's where the growth is and stuff like that. What is there in the mountain bike world? And I'm just thinking about this before coming on here. It was like, do you know when Gwyn won the Leogang chainless, and then I rode a demo chainless. So if you're looking about where where there's gaps in technology, I think there's maybe a gap there, possibly, because riding a bike chainless and the ability to kind of set up for corners and stuff like that. So there's one thing. I think there's still a place there to go for mountain biking. And I also think there's a place for 2.8 tyres, I think.
Yeah, plus tyres.
2.8 tyres, yeah. Because, if you know, we ride motorcycles, right? And like, you know, on a mountain bike, you need more cushioning. And I still think there's got to be some technological changes to get there. I mean, the Orange team back in the 2000s, they rode the 3-inch Michelin tires, and they got good results in those tires.
We had them when I started racing World Cup. No, it was before those days. It was late 90s. Michelin did these. They probably weren't quite that big, but for the time, they were massive.
2.8.
Really square, 2.8. Blocky. Yep. Yeah. Can't remember the call. They were like top. They were like pro 24. Only, and I'd get them off Steve Pete because you couldn't get these things. And again, when I rode plus tyres, I thought, wow, this is great, until you found the sort of negatives where the tyres were too lightweight, you'd rip them.
Yeah. The sidewalls weren't big enough. So surely if you can make, I mean, mountain bikes are getting heavier, right?
You do make a heavy tyre if you make it strong enough, but...
I'm on 2.6s and they're brill. Really enjoyable.
I was convinced at the time that downhill racers should be running bigger tyres because they were so cushioned for certain tracks, definitely. So I think you're right. Yeah, you know, we talked about it in a tech video about, MTB tech. Not slowing down is not the right word, but I guess there have been less leap forwards.
There has.
Leaps forward. Like with e-mountain bikes, I say, we can talk about it almost too much sometimes. And it made me think, you know, in a world, you know, looking 6 months down the line, what could be the next leap forward in not e-bike, just regular mountain bike tech? Or is it just a polishing of what we already have? You know, I can't see much that's happened really other than in-frame storage, which is nice, but it's not exactly, I wouldn't call it a leap. I mean, what was the last leap, I suppose?
I'm kind of a bit miffed, really, because what's happened is you've asked a question and I try to really stealthily avoid that question and talk about the wonderful storytelling that we could do more of. And we've unfortunately done that thing of circling back to actually answer the question head on.
Go on then.
Yeah, I guess we've got gearboxes. That could be really exciting.
Really?
We've got
is that desperation? I mean, gearboxes aren't going to change. That's not going to save mountain biking, is it?
It doesn't need saving.
Well,
that's a separate topic. Doesn't need saving. It's amazing. So we've talked about how e-bikes are growing exponentially in Europe, here in the UK as well. But America, where the humble mountain bike, you could argue, is invented or was invented, e-bike takeover, especially of EMTB, is not so strong. And there's a lot of land access issues with mountain biking in America as well. And yes, I am trying to divert the question away.
Brilliantly, brilliantly.
Thanks. Yeah. Because, EMTB is taking over here and there is a lot of resources, but there's still a lot of people, probably more people, who have got mountain bikes and still riding mountain bikes. So looping back, what's the tech going to be? Yeah, you're right. It's not going to be humongous leaps forward. I think it's going to be smaller, nicer increments. And I think that can be a good thing, opposed to having like a new hub standard where everyone's frame is sort of overnight, you know, it won't be compatible with stuff. Yeah. We're going to see new sort of smaller details of nicer, newer tyres that could be bigger and stuff like that, I hope.
I know, we've seen gearboxes, we've seen 32-inch wheels. I mean...
The gearboxes we've talked about a lot recently on EMBN are all obviously motor gearbox units, and they are this CVT, which apparently does not translate. You can't sort of back engineer it very easily into a regular bike gearbox. Apparently they're not efficient enough. So one thing that we've talked about, maybe some mountain bikes are holding on to the hope that if they get this perfect on e-bikes, maybe we can have this as well.
Yeah, do you know what? I've just woken up for a Monday. Two things for me, right? The Mikey's laughing in the background here. The experience that I've had riding a gearbox e-mountain bike downhill is some of the best off-road experiences I've ever had. So translate that to downhill bikes, like me and the Don come from a downhill background. That is a massive performance advantage, and I'd like to see that. Maybe not for pro riders, but maybe, you know... ABS braking could be something
for the Downhill World Cup.
A little bit. Yeah. So there's two things. There's a tiny nuggets of technology there, which I think would benefit mountain biking.
Agree. And I haven't had as much time on gearbox bikes, but the gearbox bike I had rode, admittedly at altitude, so I was kind of slightly hazy from it. It was amazing, and it was mind-blowing on the downhills, because you just concentrated on riding a bike. There wasn't the class, there wasn't the noise, and you could just change gear. So it is one of those big shifts, though, because it isn't like a bolt-on upgrade like a new tyre is. But yeah, you're right. I think there's more of that to see. And ABS, I really didn't want to like it. I was I did a video about it, and I was kind of, I'm enthusiastic about it. But then I rode it, and I was like, oh, okay, this is great.
Do you know what I love about ABS? Because we go and ride bikes in France and Italy, and they go, oh, you don't need to change your bikes because it's ABS. You don't need to change your brakes because it's ABS. And it's a great test. It's to go and pull the wrong brake, and you don't go over the handlebars. Yeah. It's so good.
Yeah, first ride after, I did sort of like lots on a ABS-equipped e-bike. I then rode your e-bike and had to use myself as padding to protect it from the ground as I went spectacularly over the bars. There is glimmers of hope.
What about on the downhill thing? We've seen Reese Wilson riding that Gamux, which is fairly different in silhouette to anyone else's. And he's made it work. He's got that, was it second place?
Second, yeah.
Yeah.
There's been an awful lot of sort of pre-season chat about that bike, but now he's performed well on it. Is there anything from that wacky-looking machine that could become standard? Obviously, it's got is it backwards stem? It's super high, it's slightly back. But I think Reece said the frame is designed around that as well. So you can't stick on
it. He's on a shorter fork as well, isn't he? So
a longer fork.
He's on a shorter fork, I think.
Bigger travel.
So he's compensating for that shortfall by increasing the stack height as well.
Oh, I thought it was on a 224.
But I think it's right with mountain bikes. I think we can all adapt to stuff if we really wanted to.
Oh, yeah.
I think for me the biggest tech on Reese bike is the kind of the belt and all that and the weight distribution.
Yeah. Sure. I mean, yeah, it's all weight distribution, no matter how you package it, I suppose. That's what they're aiming for.
Those stems, we were riding Mr. Dirt stems, which they were like back in the 1990s.
Yeah, but they didn't work. I remember trying one and it just did not.
But our bikes are different sizes. Our bikes are different sizes then, right? We were probably riding bikes too small for us anyway.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I wonder if kids' bike tech is still somewhere. We do have some amazing kids' bikes, don't get me wrong, at the moment. But I wonder if we could, without making kids' bikes really expensive, bring some more of the tech, but make them, they always seem still a bit heavyweight compared to the, if you're talking sort of ratio of rider to bike, bring the tech, make them a bit lighter, make it ride like it should for a kid.
Did you see that kid jump in there, jumping his mates on those little kind of electric bikes called?
No, I missed this.
Oh, basically there was the kids, they must have been 5 years old, and they were jumping the mates on the driveway.
Okay, great.
Let's see if I can dig it out from Instagram. I thought I was looking at it because you'd seen it, but
no.
Mountain bike tech, current.
Yeah, I think there's always space for better kids' bikes. I mean, we've got a sort of like, say, Isla did so much. Isla Rowntree, founder of Isla Bikes, she completely changed what a kid's bike was. And some of that is in her vision. And, I think, I think her story is something that's not been told and talked about probably enough. Because bikes
before
Isla were kind of toys, and they were kind of crap. And she completely changed it all. But in a certain way. So it's kind of more a sort of like traditional mountain bike style. So really lightweight.
Yeah.
Easy to use gears and things like this, where, mountain bike, as we've already talked about, is this huge, broad sort of spectrum of riding. So yeah, maybe there's more kids' bikes. I know Propane have got some really cool full suspension kids' bikes, and they're not using their Pro 10, they're using a single pivot sort of setup. Yeah. So it's sort of less is more. So Manitou have got some good kids' forks. So they are out there. But yeah.
I've often wondered, especially obviously with sort of downhill racing, whether aero should be more of a thing. I mean, we are seeing it a bit.
Remember that GT? Remember the GT aero bike? There's a GT aero bike. Yeah, you remember.
Was it just a concept, though?
I think so. But then there's all those...
Specialized did a couple. They were wild.
Yeah, and there was the Vario. Remember the Vario?
Yeah,
that was a cool bike, wasn't it? And all those were the kind of speed record I was surprised that those didn't come into downhill as well.
But don't you think for more regular riders, or I guess a regular mountain bike is not going fast enough? I definitely think on the World Cup downhill scene, we should definitely see more of it. But I'm thinking more for, you look at your average roadies, they're all riding around on aero bikes.
They're riding around on aero bikes. It was interesting. I was very lucky and went to Met to see how they do stuff at their lab.
Did you go to the restaurant?
I went to several nice restaurants.
Did you go to the wine bar?
No. Didn't go to one bar. But what was amazing at Met is they've got a wind tunnel. It wasn't operational while I was there, but we had a brief chat about aero. And yeah, it's one of those things, you do see aero frame bikes for the roadies. Some of them look like they've been sort of like left on the heater a bit too long, and parts look like they're melted. And I think some of the aero bikes do look absolutely terrible. However, the aero gains that you can have from something simple as a switch of a helmet,
or a shave, surely.
Apparently not. That can create like a boundary layer and be more aerodynamic. Oh. They've done loads of wind tunnel testing. But point being is it's easy to think of it as kind of gains, and to get nerdy, and it's a bit like chain waxing, which I'm sure someone will comment and say it's the best thing since sliced bread. It's not. And the problem is it feels like it's a really high performance thing, when actually it can make cycling easier to wear an aero lid. So coming back to bike parks, no need for it. You can make your day easier, get more King of the Mountains or whatever you get at speed records. I don't know, because I don't do bike parts, but whatever the key metric is there, you could go faster without your peak on.
But yeah, well, I'm not taking my peak off.
So folks, we'll be talking about tech. I think a great piece of tech, which I've seen recently is Amaury Peiron coming off in Val Nord and the airbag going off. Now, I always thought I was at Alpine Stars about 15 years ago, and I saw the guys introducing Alpine Stars to that tech, but I didn't realise he was in Alpine Stars. I'm thinking it's an Alpine Stars technology,
it's
gotta
be, I think, yeah. They have it in the MotoGP world, don't they? So as far as I'm aware, it's like CO2 canisters in a sort of package on your vest.
Yeah.
And when the sensors realise you're crashing, using some sort of algorithm.
And batteries, one imagines. More things to charge.
To inflate.
Oh, come on.
It'll go off.
You take ladders into another level, don't you?
It'll just inflate very, very quickly. And we saw that.
Great. He was hauling, wasn't he?
And he was definitely crashing. There's no misreading of it.
Yeah,
it's a long time before he hits the ground. Boom.
To me, it's a really welcome sight, or an unwelcome sight to see him crashing, but welcome to see the Paddeneggers. I think, in MotoGP, they're sliding down the road at 200 mile an hour, but like sliding around the road at 200 mile an hour, but hitting a tree is a different game, right?
And landing on your back on a rock or whatever. You see Jordan Williams when he threw his bike down and he laid down. His went off as he was sort of not crashing as such,
but
going down on the floor. And then he's walking around with his airbag all puffed up.
I think it's cool.
I think it is really cool. And as much as I am being a sort of mock Luddite, if you're racing, and I've kind of been burnt previously by saying people should wear less protection. I do want to add,
we should be in a fireproof suit, not an airbag.
Currently, I mean, unfortunately, that's a whole separate topic.
What, fireproof suits?
Well, yeah, like,
because
with drag and dangers of trails, and trails are on fire and woodlands are on fire.
Good point.
Yeah. Point being is that, if people can wear as much protection as they want, I think if people kind of have the mindset of wearing a little bit less, potentially that can be a good thing, because they're like, oh, maybe I'm a bit more risk averse. However, the technology to help racers and help people who are pushing the boundaries, or those that just want more protection, I think it's invaluable. I think it's really exciting tech.
I thought it was really impressive. I need to look into it, so I'm sure the information is out there, but presumably it's reusable, and you stick another CO2 canister on there and you go again.
So, yeah.
I mean, I don't know that. We could definitely find
it. It's only going to get better, right? This is the worst it'll ever be at the minute.
I think, I wonder how usable it is for us, for non-racers. It could be an amazing bit of tech. You can buy it. I know for riding your motorcycle, you can buy that kit already.
Yeah, I think it's a big innovation, isn't it?
Yeah, I actually remember going to POC a long time ago.
Right, yeah.
And they were saying they can make a helmet that you won't get a head injury in it, but it'll be this big. And no one will want to wear it. So there's like levels of protection that you could wear a massive Michelin man suit and probably not get hurt, but you wouldn't want to ride in it. However, what we want to see is usable, very good protection for every everyday mountain biking. It should be hopefully this could be the start of it for regular riders.
And it's interesting. I think racing, there's a spectacle to racing, but for mountain biking, looping full circle about how tech has driven mountain biking, that's because racing was really good at being a proving ground. And okay, it feels like we've plateaued with some of the technologies, whether it's gears or suspension. Okay, there's always going to be marginal gains, but the safety aspect, that's where we now can see maybe that's the big tech piece of moving forward the next couple of 5 years, is huge advances in safer riding. And that'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
Yeah, get involved in the comments. If, like us, you are looking forward to getting a plus-sized aero lightweight e-mountain bike in a not-too-distant future.
Possibly a single-speed one as well. Yeah.
Jump into the comments.
And if you like starvation and suffering, stick to your MTB.